Welcome to the Go Red for Women podcast series with Rose Caiola. Part 1, Clarissa Alayeto. Hi, my name is Rose Caiola. I sit on the executive leadership team for the Go Red for Women campaign for the American Heart Association. Every 80 seconds, a woman will die from heart disease or stroke, and yet, most of these incidences are preventable by making smart choices in choosing a healthy diet and exercising. All women deserve to live a long, meaningful life, and that's why I advocate for women's health. Go Red for Women helps women recognize that heart disease is the number one killer. We've created this podcast series to educate you on what it means to live a healthy life and how to get there. We've partnered with doctors and experts to give you the information on how to achieve the goals necessary to live that healthy lifestyle. You'll hear from survivors firsthand how they overcame the obstacles that got them into that health situation that they were in, and how they broke free and were able to overcome themselves and get on with their lives. During this series, you'll learn how to make the changes that you need to make in order to live that healthy lifestyle. We'll provide you with tools and resources, and most importantly, a community which you can fall back on anytime to get the answers that you're searching for. I'm Rose Caiola, and today Clarissa Alayeto has joined me, and she's going to tell us her incredible story of where she came from and how she's overcome the challenges in her life and has changed her life for the better. Clarissa, you have an incredible story. You've been on the news, on several other TV shows, advocating for health and awareness. Tell us a little bit about your background. Like, where did you come from?
So I grew up in the South Bronx, in the South Bronx, in Mott Haven, the Mott Haven community. And I grew up in public housing. I was raised by my grandparents. So very old school upbringing, a lot of laughter, a lot of food.
A lot of food.
And so that's pretty much a little bit about, you know, where I come from.
What was their mindset? I know for me, like, I come from an Italian background, so it was also around a lot of food. In Europe, the food is healthier, but, you know, here I had to adapt the way my parents had adapted to a very unhealthy diet. So I know that yours was similar to mine, if not worse. Tell me what that diet was.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a Latina household, and so our food consists of everything carbs and starch, right? Rice with everything. And it wasn't, you know, portion control. It was like your plate was a plate of rice that could probably divide for about a family of four. So you would eat so much rice, beans, and the proteins would be, you know, saturated in grease, in oils, a lot of fried food,
processed,
a lot of salt. And that's a big issue, too, in our household growing up, was the salt. There was so much salt, and everything was like sazon, which is a seasoning that we use, or adobo, you know, lots of that, right? And
so what was the health like of the people in your family?
Yeah, so we have a history of diabetes, heart disease. You know, my grandparents, my grandfather, actually, I experienced seeing him go through his diseases. He had diabetes. Eventually, the diabetes took over. And he had heart disease. He also got Alzheimer's. So I saw a lot of this as I was growing up. And then a lot of it to me was traumatic because there was a lot of fears. At times, my grandfather would go into diabetic comas where he would start sweating profusely and lost consciousness. And as a kid, that just scared me.
How old were you?
I was somewhere between the ages of 13 and 16 when all of this was happening. I saw amputations. Eventually, they amputated his toe and his foot. And it became, you know, hard for my grandmother to take care of him, so we had to put him in a nursing home. So all of that stuff, you know.
Where he was getting more unhealthy food.
Where he was getting more unhealthy food. Right.
And so what was the whole premise of your, you know, you're advocating now for healthy food? When did you come to that conclusion? What was that What was that turning point for you?
The turning point was I was 283 pounds and I was huge. I was beginning to feel sluggish. I wasn't happy with myself, right? I couldn't shop in the stores. I couldn't find my size. I would have to shop online. There were a lot of things that began to play in my head. And so I figured the first step was let me go to my doctor and really see where I am with my health. And
was that the first time you went to a doctor?
It wasn't the first time, but it may have been maybe a year before I've seen him. It's been a year since I've seen him before. And so I went to the doctor and had a full physical. He took some blood and came back in 2 weeks. And he said, you know, you're diabetic. And when he diagnosed me with diabetes, it was so scary.
Right, it's just like, boom, just like that. You went to the doctor, said, boom, you have diabetes.
Right, but this was my doctor for a long time. And for a long time, he's been telling me, you're pre-diabetic. You're pre-diabetic, you know.
Did he give you any medication for that?
Not for the pre-diabetes, but when he diagnosed me with diabetes, he wanted to put me on medication.
Okay, so one more question. Yeah. Now, when you were pre-diabetic, did he make any suggestions or recommendations on your diet?
There were two recommendations he said to me.
What did he say?
Change my eating habits and exercise more.
Did he tell you how?
No.
No. Very limited information.
Which is typical. Exactly.
Yeah.
Very limited information.
So now you have diabetes. Fast forward, you have diabetes and he's putting you on medication.
So I have diabetes. He wants to put me on medication. And I say to him, let's hold off on medication. Because at this point, my grandfather's story is flashing before my eyes. And so I said, let me see if I can make some change. Let me think about this and then I'll come back to you in like 2 weeks. So he says, okay. So I go home and I'm telling my grandmother, who at the time was 91, and I'm telling her, and she's like, you know, I tried to avoid this. I knew this was going to happen to you, because she's been my worst critic, but my best critic, like in terms of telling me, Clarissa, I'm concerned about your health. You're getting way too big. It's unhealthy. You have to make some changes. And so I went back to her and I told her, and she was so disappointed. And, you know, tears were coming out of her eyes. And it really tore me up inside. And so I went home. I was a little depressed. I was a little depressed about it. I felt like, you know, what do I do? What do I do? How do I change this?
What did you do?
So the first thing I did was I tried to think about where the sugar was coming from. And I said, you know, I drink a lot of juice. I drink a lot of soda. If there's one change that I can make, it's cutting out the sugar beverages. And so I cut out the sugar beverages first. So I stopped drinking soda and stopped drinking juice and started drinking more water, a lot more water.
So you made this conclusion all on your own.
Now,
one of the reasons why we're filming this podcast is because we want to educate our people and we want to show them through your strength that there are ways, and we're here to help you do that.
Absolutely.
So you cut out the sugar, you started drinking more water, and then what?
So within 10 days, I was supposed to go back to the doctor in 10 days. And within those 10 days that the only change I made was water, the sugar beverages, cutting that out. I felt different. I felt differently. And
did you start to feel better?
Yeah, I felt a little better. I was sleeping better. It was really interesting to me what 10 days of just water, the difference.
And
that
cutting out the sugar.
Just
sodas.
Cutting out that sugar. Because I was drinking soda all day. I would drink it. I would buy juice in the morning and then drink soda at lunch, soda for dinner, and then had like iced tea in the house. So, so much sugar.
I was there too.
Right. A lot. It's bad.
It's just like the American way.
Right. Right. And then, so I cut that out and I went back to the doctor and I said, you know, I think I can make some changes without the medication. So give me some time and let me continue to do this. And I started...
I'm sorry, did he notice a change when you went back?
So he didn't mention anything about the change.
Wow.
He didn't mention anything about the change. His concern was more, he didn't think I would be able to do it, and he was really honest with me after I proved a little bit that I was able to do it. He said, you know, I didn't think you could do this. I didn't think that you were going to do this, because he's been telling me so much that I was pre-diabetic. So I made that change, went back and started to think about if this water journey is changing me in just 10 days, you know, let me look at foods. What can I do differently if I'm diabetic? What are the foods that I can eat, that I should eat, that I shouldn't eat? So I did a lot of research on my own.
On your own.
On my own. I brought, like, the diabetes magazine. I went to the Heart Association website looking at recipes. What should I be eating? Yeah.
And you started to slowly change. So were you cooking for yourself? Were you shopping now?
That was a big change as well. I never cooked. I didn't know how, like, I would know how to make basic food for myself, but in terms of making meals, this was the biggest thing. I began to meal prep. So every Sunday, taking 4 to 6 hours, sacrificing to make all of my meals for the week. So I would make breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And what was the shopping? How was the food availability to you then?
So food, because I was researching and learning about all of these vegetables that I knew nothing about, like, it was during this journey that I learned about Brussels sprouts, right? Like, we didn't eat Brussels sprouts. We didn't eat vegetables at home. And so it was through this journey that I began to look at vegetables differently. And so I had to step out of my community to go shopping, to find different varieties.
Because nothing was available for you.
Because there was
nothing
available for me.
In your area.
In my area. Yeah. So I started shopping at Whole Foods. It was more expensive, but it was a sacrifice that was worth it.
Because you cared enough about your health,
right,
and your future,
right,
to make that investment.
Right.
You do so much with exercise. You have classes that you give for free, that you host, and you take the time out of your schedule and out of your life to help people exercise and to show them the way. And how did you get into that, wanting to help others?
Yeah, exercise was the third step in my journey. And so when I began to exercise, I knew that it was all coming together, because now I was seeing a big difference, losing the weight, getting down on body fat percentage. So a lot of that was changing. I was feeling more energetic. It was life changing. I decided that because I knew that the Bronx was the unhealthiest county, and I knew my story, I knew the limited access, I knew that there was a sense of hopelessness when I was diagnosed with diabetes, and a sense of, well, this is going to be the rest of my life, I'm going to have to resort to medication. But when I reversed the diagnosis of diabetes and no longer had it, I said, this can be anyone. And people need to know that this is possible. You know, preventative is always better than post, right? Once you're diagnosed, it's a little harder. But if I can help the community know, prevent anything, for any kind of chronic diseases, that's my goal. And with my story, to tell people, like, this is doable. If you really make the sacrifices, you know, for your health, it's doable.
What a selfless journey. I mean, you know, but you've come so far where you have the proof that you feel better.
Right.
And that's what kept you going.
Right.
Right. And now you've taken that to another level where you want to bring it into your community to help others,
right,
get the same feeling and support. And so what else, what are your passions now? I know that you have a whole future of endeavors in front of you. And so what's your next step?
Yeah, so definitely policy changes. I think it's big to get into, you know, legislation and change policies around access and food and you know, in especially in our communities, like the South Bronx. We need to do something different. We need, you know, better food choices in schools, right? We need to start from an early age, educating our young people. We need resources that will educate our families, our children at a young age, you know, so that when you get to a certain age, like 30, you're not, you know, kind of feeling hopeless when you do have a chronic illness. So my goal is to definitely, and working with the American Heart Association, to bring those resources to the community, because I think that's the way to go. Like, partner, find as many organizations that connect with my passion to really bring it all together to serve the community.
That's a beautiful, beautiful direction to go into. And like I said, it's very selfless. I want to go back to, what was it like for you when you first realized you had diabetes? Or before even you went to the doctor, you told me something earlier. You said, why should I go to the doctor when?
I already know. what he's going to say.
Right.
Right.
But you went anyway.
Right. Right. It was almost like needing, you know, the doctor's going to say, because he's been saying it to me already. And I know your body tells you, you know, I think your body, you have to listen to your body. Your body really is telling you. When you get an ache, when you get a pain, when you feel sluggish, when you're not sleeping well, those are all signs that something's not right. And if you're not listening to your body, then you're just going to go on and, you know, it's going to just get worse. So I listened to my body, and I know that I wasn't feeling good. I know that I didn't look good.
And you wanted to feel better.
And I wanted to feel
really
better.
Wanted to feel better.
Going to the doctor was just it was like a start. Let's restart. You know, let's kind of go to the doctor and like refresh.
Rewire,
exactly.
Change for people can be overwhelming.
Right.
You know, if you're talking about cutting out sugary drinks, you're talking about, you know, cutting out processed foods and fried foods, like that can be overwhelming for people.
Right.
You know, what recommendations can you make to help people handle that, to make these healthy lifestyle changes?
Yeah, the one thing I suggest always is to start small, with small goals that are attainable. You know, often we get caught up in the bigger goal of losing all of this weight. Eventually that will come, but if you make the smaller changes, like cutting just one small thing out of your diet, or walking an extra 30 minutes, even if you drive, right, parking a little further to get a little walk in, increasing your steps, you know, just small goals that will eventually, you know, kind of have a snowball effect on the larger goal, which is to get healthy or to lose weight, and to prevent chronic illnesses.
So I would like, for example, cut out the sodas and like do that for a couple of weeks till my body acclimated.
Right.
And then start something else, like start with a longer walk.
Right.
And then do that for a couple more weeks, and then start something else and make another change.
Right.
I think that's really a great way to approach it. So
absolutely,
it's not overwhelming. And, you know, people don't think like, oh, because I know I'm like that. Like, oh, my God, like, what am I supposed to do? And I have to do everything like all at once.
Right.
And that always just kind of backfires.
Definitely. That's a great idea. You know, cutting out sodas, doing that for 10 days, kind of going back and like monitor, right? Like on day one, how do you feel? Maybe just writing that down. And then on day 10, how do you feel? And you might even see, you know,
notice the change.
You might notice the change in those 10 days by tracking it. So that's definitely a good way.
Now, tell me, what's your doctor's attitude now?
Oh, so
having gone from no information to
right.
now, I'm sure you educated him.
Right. He was so shocked. He retired now. But he was really shocked. I went back to him and I said, you know, let's take my blood levels. Let's see what's happening. Take my sugar. And when I was diagnosed with diabetes, my A1C was at a 7.1. And when I went back, I was then in a pre-diabetic stage. And he was shocked. And he was like, wow. And with the weight loss as well, I had lost something like 30 pounds at that point. And he was really happy. He was really happy about that.
Was he shocked?
He was.
Because he didn't think that you could do it.
He didn't think that I can do it.
Wow. And you proved him wrong.
Absolutely.
That's incredible. That's a hard task for people to take on. Because most people would get discouraged, you know, take the medication and don't make any change.
Right. And that's usually what happens, where you see people taking all of these medications, and, you know, because they don't know how to change.
But change is possible.
But change is absolutely possible.
And she's here to tell you that.
That's right.
Clarissa Alayeto.
Yes.
She's going to give you all of her Twitter handles.
Yep.
I love this woman. She's amazing. And I hope you think she is too.
Thank you so much.
What is your Twitter handle so people can find you if you have questions?
Yeah, so
feel free.
I'm on Instagram.
Clarissa is so engaging with her community and
definitely
helping us advocate for good health, exercise, nutrition.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool, COOL _ RISS. Cool Riss. Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah. This was great.
It's good work.
It is. It's a lot of work, but it's great work. It's worth it. when you see, and like in my class now, we have women who, like myself, are now like reversing their diagnosis of like, you know, they're talking about their sugar levels being really like good and their blood pressure is like stable. So those are the reasons why like I keep going, because that's the goal.
You know, to get more people to feel that way.
Right, right.
Because you know what?
Exactly.
You're worth it.
Exactly.
Thank you, Clarissa.
Thank you.
And my wish for you is that you learn the skills to make the changes you wish to make in your life. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information, please visit goredforwomen.org or heart.org. And to further your transformation journey, make sure you check out my website, rewireme.com. See you next time.